Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Screaming across Tay interwebs, it is Mix Minus, Saturday evening, 11-ish p.m. in the East. Streaming live on Pride48.com. Of course, I do not do this show alone. I do it with my good friend, Adam Burns. Good evening, Adam.
Well, we've been here for like 3 hours already.
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking. You know, I realize I'm not even saying my name in that intro. It's like, I really should take the time to script it out. I'm not saying, I'm Daniel Brewer and blah, 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 blah. I'm just... It's one of those things. I just assume you know who the fuck I am, which is, you, of course, have no reason whatsoever to know who I am.
We were just talking about that earlier. How
that was a bad fate.
I'm gonna remove my last name from all my monikers. I'm Adam.
Literally just hit stop on my recorder for no apparent reason. I was just like, sorry, I hit it again. I started it again. It'll be fun. It'll be a challenge. It'll be a challenge in editing, Adam. That's what it is. Either that, or for the rest of the show, your people are going to hear me off. It's like I'll be laughing at things before he says them. And
well, you know, because you had just hit the recorder off, they didn't even hear you say, "Oh shit, I just turned the recorder."
Oh no, I turned it on before. How are you doing?
So what I was saying, I'm grabby. I'm crabby this evening. I think I'm getting slowly over it, but when I first joined the stream, I was very crabby. I apologize to you already.
You did.
So we won't get into that. But, you know, I'm fine. I don't even have a reason. I think it's just my time of the month.
You said you had a bad day.
I'm ready for that 42-year-old. Well, no, I don't know. I'm just tired, but, you know, it's just because life.
No, you're tired because you stayed
up
9 hours watching Goliath or whatever the fuck that was. That's why you're tired.
But that was earlier in the week. I should have caught up from that
already. Did you somehow sneak in another 7 hours of sleep somewhere? How are you going to catch up then?
Well, I mean, I got full, you know, 6 or 5 hours the following evening.
Yeah, but that just made up for that. That didn't make up for the day that you lost.
Yeah, but I mean, your theory doesn't work here, Daniel, because are you saying that every time we lose a couple of hours of sleep, that those all build up for our entire life?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, here's the thing. I know you're being, you know, you're being silly, but we actually don't know. Yeah, I don't like to talk about it a lot, Adam, but I do have a degree in psychology. And one of the things that we like to look at in psychology is sleep, like what happens to the mind when you're sleeping. We don't know a whole lot about that. We have a lot of theories, and there are some certain biological things that are happening during sleep, but we don't quite understand why sleep is necessary. Like, we don't understand, it's like, okay, what's happening to your brain? What is it about the human anatomy that means that you have to shut down your brain overnight? Or at some point during
this regular... Wasn't that when, like, all the janitorial staff goes through your brain and, like, cleans those synapses or whatever?
Possibly, but it's not like those systems that clean have any reason to not function at other times. There's other animal species where those things happen on a regular cadence. Like, there's other species who don't sleep. So it's one of those, you know, we just don't know. We have, like I said, a lot of theories, a lot of good things, but we don't actually specifically know why people sleep. But there is one theory that says that, yes, you have a minimum amount of sleep that has to get accomplished every day. Like, let's just say it's 4.5 hours. Like, 4.5 hours has to happen. You have to have 4.5 hours.
Right.
And if you don't, if you go 3 days without sleeping, your body will force you to make up those time. It's like, for as many days as you miss that 4.5 minimum amount, it's like your body will force you to make that up. So it's like, there is a theory that, you know, if you're going to take a big test like the LSAT or, you know, some MCAT, some kind of weird, you know, higher level test or whatever, that you should sleep several days ahead of time, start stockpiling your sleep so that.
But I feel, yeah, but I feel like that resets. Like once you, it's not like, I mean, you need a full, how much ever you need, four and a half.
But these are all just theories. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, you could be right. We don't know. That's just it. But you don't know either. It's just like nobody knows right now what's happening and why we actually need sleep. So that's just.
I'm not a sleep doctor.
Thanks. Chat room says you can just listen to a week's worth of Big Fatty and that'll do the job too. You know what? Here's the thing, Adam. Here's the thing.
Big Fatty will clean those synapses right up for you.
I listen to Big Fatty. We're talking, of course, about our friend Big Fatty from BigFattyOnline.com. I listen to.
Oh, yes. We'd like to apologize for that reviewer from 5 years ago that said we bring up inside jokes or whatever. Big Fatty has a podcast.
Look, we're doing YouTube videos now. There may be some people that find us that way or whatever. They don't have any idea who Big Fatty. Anyway, so Big Fatty from BigFattyOnline.com. I normally listen to all my podcasts at 1.3 speed. But this past week, I had to like do a custom rule for Big Fatty Online and bump it up to 1.6 because, oh my God, make a fucking point. He was just, dancing all around a bunch of stuff this week.
I listened to him at double speed. But the thing is, it is a problem because I can understand everything that Fatty is saying at double speed. But the voicemails that he gets, those tend to kind of jumble together at double speed. And because I don't normally hear those people speaking at double speed. Mm-hmm. So I'm not used to it. Mm-hmm. So if you call in and leave a voicemail for Fatty, it's likely that I don't understand what the hell you're saying.
Well, you know, last week on this very show, I was speculating that Big Fatty was talking about masturbating on his show.
He was.
And this week he confirmed that no, you and our guest host last week were wrong. He wasn't talking about inviting a gentleman caller over. He was talking about spanking the monkey.
And did you notice how he said it as if that was, and not to, you know, make Big Fatty be the subject of our entire podcast.
Why not? Let's do that. But, let's just make the entire damn show about Big Fatty. Let's go into a deep analysis of Big Fatty online. It's like, we can call it the Big Fatty Recap. And, you know, it's a 20-minute show. Oh, we can recap it in an hour.
Put it on YouTube. Do you think, though, that he doesn't masturbate very often?
I don't
know. Because he made it seem like it was out of the ordinary.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's like, I masturbate daily. I masturbate every day. That is just, unless I'm having sex and it's like that day, then I don't.
I'm sorry to my manager if you're listening. Just cover your ears.
Why are you
now.
Sorry? I mean, it's not like I do it at work. It's not like I do it on conference calls at work, but it's just like, you know, I masturbate every day. That's
true. No, but I mean, because a couple of different episodes this week, he's like, oh yeah, I decided to do it, you know, as if, you know, that's not something he does on. So I want to know, is it either that because he's a little bit older, like he just doesn't, he seems like a very sexual, like in the mood person. Like he's always constantly in the mood to me.
Yeah.
But I know as you get older, that sex drive kind of goes down. Theoretically. So maybe he's not in the mood to, you know, play with the eggplant on a daily basis. Or is it that he gets so much sex, he never has a need to actually masturbate? I mean, inquiring minds want to know.
I don't know. I mean, there's sometimes that, you know, I masturbate anyway when I'm having sex.
While you're having sex?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
You mean, I mean, sometimes I prefer masturbation. So
I'm a big fan.
You know,
I am the Jocelyn Elsers of a podcast. I am all for masturbation. It's like, do we have that clip anywhere? Jocelyn Elsers talking about masturbation. I don't know.
Is that a clip that you just had at the ready? Like on
no,
a normal
I'm just
basis?
Saying, that would
like,
be, I mean, that's something that happened in life. I'm sure that there like, is a YouTube, like here,
do
here
we have
we go.
That clip? Do
YouTube.
We have it?
YouTube.com. I was looking off camera to our mini, mini interns that we have here.
Producers, get right on that. Get us the Jocelyn Elders clip.
There, I just typed in Jocelyn Elders masturbate on YouTube. Don't disappoint me. Don't disappoint me, Dr. Jocelyn Elders. What do we have? What do we have?
Oh. Is she singing?
Masturbation. I got no idea what this is. Okay, I have no idea what the hell this is.
So apparently Jocelyn Elders has now gone into a career of singing, you know.
She's
moved on. Yeah.
She's the Nichelle Nichols of Surgeon Generals. She was a Surgeon General. Yeah, that's what she was. I don't know. We are so far off the rails right now. It's not even, I'm going to actually take some of these things off, I think. The list.
Oh, well, I don't have to.
No. Sorry. No, because I was going to make fun of another enterprise and yeah, we don't need to do that. Because there's so many other things that we can make fun of, Adam. Did you read the news at all today?
No, I don't ever read the news. I try to avoid the news.
So there's a big story going around. It turns out this comes from CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network. The Democratic convention meetings, they're saying, omit under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. They omit under God from the Pledge of Allegiance.
I want to say I didn't watch any of those because I would vote like Scott, your host on your other show. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what he said in your episode. I don't remember what he said. He said basically he would vote for an eggplant.
Yeah, sure. He would vote for Big Fat.
over the current president. So I don't even need to know what they say at the convention because I already know how I'm voting.
Here's the thing. This is the whole, you know, world is crazy and weird, so hyperpartisan right now that everything, you know, has to have some kind of stupid spin on it and everything. It is actually true. It is actually true that now listen to what I'm saying. It is absolutely true that where's it at?
Producers.
Got it. Right here. All right. So it is absolutely true that Democrats remove under God from Pledge of Allegiance during the convention, right? That is absolutely true. But it is so stupid that it is beyond belief. So we're not talking about the convention that everyone saw every night, right? The four nights of the Democratic convention. We're not talking about that. In fact, none of the ones that they are talking about actually like made any kind of like, you know, they didn't make it to YouTube, whatever. You had to actually be in on those Zoom conference calls because these were the individual caucuses within the Democratic National Convention doing the kinds of things that they would be doing if they had a big convention. So just like, you know, like the gay and lesbian convention and the there was a Muslim convention and you're just like, you know, the black leaders convention and whatnot. It's like, so there's just different groups within the Democratic Party that have their own little meetings. And in two of those cases, the Muslim one and the gay and lesbian one, they didn't say under God for different reasons. And it's just like, it's perfectly fine. Like nobody cares. This doesn't change anything. But of course, you know, the hyperpartisan spin on this has to make it sound like, you know, every night Joe Biden went out there and basically says, you know, fuck God. And, you know, it's like, I hate everything. You know, it's like they make it sound like it's that when in fact it was just a really stupid kind of thing. But
my whole opinion is hypocrites is my whole opinion, because you know what, I am a Christian and not Democrats or hypocrites. Mm-hmm. All of these folks who are saying things like that, and I don't want to be hyper partisan here, Daniel, but all the Republicans,
yes, all of them, every single one of them, yes,
all of the religious Republicans, mm-hmm, the evangelical Republicans,
every single one
are a bunch of hypocrites, because you know, they voted for someone who's anti everything that they supposedly believe in, is all I want to say. And yet they want to call out, you know, Democrats trying to be sensitive to Muslims who, you know, have a different belief set or something like that. I mean, they put a man in office who, sorry, does not live by the things that they supposedly believe in.
No, not a single one of them. He doesn't even go to church.
So, I mean, they have no right to say anything. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know why I'm Joe Batance all of a sudden.
So I found this guy. I don't know how I found. Oh, I know. I was looking this up before the show because when I was waiting for the show to start, and I was just like, oh, I'll look that up. I'll see what this is all about. And one of the videos that got linked down near the bottom on YouTube was some younger, I'll say like late 20s, early 30s, some younger guy talking about the Democrats, you know, taking under God out from the Pledge of Allegiance. And so I'm like, oh, I want to hear what this person has to say. And so here, let me just play this clip a little bit here. It's like,
my name is Tyler and you're watching The Right View with Wolf News. Let's get to it.
The Right News.
He needs a better mic.
Oh my God. No, he's sitting in front of, I can only guess, is like an iPhone or something, and basically shouting across the room because, yeah, it's like, you know, he's got this big intro and everything, but he's basically just like some dude sitting in his living room.
Well, if you've been keeping up with the news lately, you've probably been knowing or hearing a lot about the Democratic National Convention that's been going about or is underway the past few days.
That's as clear as mud, man. It's like, so I'm like going, wait, who is this guy? And so I like popped over to his YouTube channel. He has one subscriber.
He has one subscriber. We can't.
And that video, which by the way, was linked underneath the news stories on the YouTube home front page and everything, has only had 66 views. So I'm just like, okay, I don't think this is really.
I mean, you know, we can't really throw stones.
Well, no, I'm saying, I would hope that if we were linked on the front page of YouTube after someone searched, like, let's say they were looking up an article about Joslyn Elders or something, and they saw our video, we would have more than 66 views. Maybe. I would hope. That's what I'm saying. These people, but you know, it's not just political things that get distorted, Adam, and there's other things that get distorted just as much. Isn't, you know what that's called, Adam? That's called a segue. Cause I wanted to talk to you. I saw this article a couple of weeks ago. I clipped it out. I saved the link for this and put this on the Trello but we had a guest last week, so we didn't get to talk about it. But you know, Adam, you like to talk about how much television that you and Mittens watch.
A lot.
You guys watch a lot of television. And
I wish I could get paid for it.
So here's a...
I mean, I really do.
There was this research. This is done by Harvard. So the Harvard Medical School did a research. This is the teaser headline of this here. Sitting is sometimes called the new smoking because of its detrimental effects on heart health. But some types of sitting may be worse than others, according to a study in the July 2nd Journal of the American Heart Association.
I'm going to die.
Basically they're saying that, you know, people that watch television for more than 2 hours, let's see.
2 hours at a time?
No.
2 hours multiple times a day?
For the remaining third who watched more than 4 hours a day had a 49% higher risk of heart attack, stroke, and death than those in the first group, which are the people that didn't watch it earlier. Now, of course...
I'm already dead.
Here's the thing, Adam, but it's like you also go and do yoga and Pilates and whatever the fuck you're doing. It's like they didn't track any of that. They just asked people how much. It's like there was absolutely no context to like how much TV/video that they watched during a day, right? It's like, what if you were watching it on the treadmill? What if you're, you know, watching it while you're cooking dinner, like you're walking around the house while you're watching things? It's like, that's completely different. Then, so it's like when another study took this study and then normalized it and they went like, yeah, basically people that sit around on the couch and eat all day are more unhealthy than people who don't. It's just like, wow, that's amazing. So it's not just the politics that gets spun in the, you know, whatever way. It's like, let me ask, which headline would you click on a news site? Watching too much TV will kill you. People who are lazy get fat. Like, which one of those headlines would you...
Probably the first one. But well, you know what? I would do it knowingly.
You would do it with a knowing wink and a knowing nod?
Yeah, I mean, I would be like, they are so baiting me. But I'm going to click it anyway.
Would you say...
you know, that sort of thing.
So you were saying that they would be... would they be, you know, experts at that? Would they be masturbating you?
Masturbating me. But I mean, I know you do this. I'm sure. Well, I mean, I don't live with you, but I'm just.
Yes, I've already told you that I masturbated today. Guess
oh, well, yeah. Guess. And apparently Big Fatty does as well. So I do this all the time. I'm scrolling through my phone and I have that, you know, Google Now where it gives me news articles and then I'll click on one. And you know how at the bottom of the news article, they have all these other things they would think you would be interested in?
Yes.
And it's always like, this actor was so stunning. You should see them now. You know, or something like that.
Oh, those. The ones where it's like, and they give you a 100 different pages of, you know, like,
he
was born a poor child in the South. And then his mother didn't love him. And then, you know, click to the next page. And it's all just to show you more and more ads as it goes. Yeah. Hate those. I think that there's usually
I still click on them though.
But here's the thing. If they're posted on Facebook, read the comments underneath them because there's always people that's like, I don't have, it's like, oh, here, I save you some time. you know, and here's a link to the last thing or whatever. It's just like, there's usually someone else who has already done the work of those stupid things making you not have to do it. You know what? Speaking of doing work, Adam.
Yes.
We ask our audience to do things from time to time. Not huge things, you know, just little things. Hopefully things that don't cost them money, right? Just, you know, we ask them to do things for us. And one of the things we asked for people to do was to leave us some iTunes reviews. So I thought it would be fun if I read some of them to you, Adam.
Oh, did we get some more?
Yeah, we actually have, I'll see, seven customer reviews right now on the old show.
Oh.
Yeah. So thank you for everyone who did that. And let me just read you a couple of these comments. Yeah.
How many of them talk about our wonderful chemistry?
Oh, yeah, I'm glad that you asked. Let's see. Here's one. Is like, first off, this isn't Dubious Intent. Secondly, it isn't that darn Elvis. However, if you're looking for a solid show with hosts that have great chemistry, then you should totally check it out. I have heard that this show now has 45% less inside jokes. So thank you for that one.
Wow. Yeah.
Here's one that was written by our guest last week. I'm telling you, I miss it. The headline was the old show was better. Let's see. We also have one here. Adam is the funny one. So is Daniel. Great chemistry. Great content. Oh, that was by Nessa. Miss Nessa left that for us.
That's nice.
Kathy Bacon, are you running away from me? I keep finding you guys. Thanks for entertaining me, but even more thanks for doing it for free. So thank you, Kathy Bacon. And then we have another one here from Snubar. Snbar?
Oh, yeah, Snbar.
Snbar. It says, great show. Love it. Great chemistry. Daniel's jokes are great. Adam, .. Not so much. But the bod makes up for it.
Oh, how dare you, Snbar.
So thank you guys for doing that. Please keep them coming. We do appreciate anything you want to toss out at us there on the old iTunes review. It just helps us get a little bit more visibility. And it doesn't have to be iTunes. If you listen to us on Spotify, then leave us a review there. If you listen to us on, you know, podcast, anywhere that you listen to this show, take some time, flip over on your little player there and see if there's a place for you to leave a comment about it. We appreciate all of those. We absolutely read all of them.
So do you have a script set up to go and look at all of those various places and tell you where we got a review?
So there is a service called Podkite that tracks all that. And we'll send you a weekly digest or whatever. But
do you do that?
I do it for Elvis. I don't do it for this show.
So you might need to do it for this show if you're telling them to go to all those other places so we know if they did it.
Well, I'll do that then. Whatever. The other thing I did for Elvis is I set up a voicemail line, a voicemail place, and I sent you all the information on that, and I can't help but notice that you haven't had time to set that up yet.
Oh, did you ask me to do it?
Yeah, I said, is this something that we could do for Mix Minus? Because you would have to redirect.
I thought,
to redirect the domain. You would have to redirect voicemail.mixminuspodcaster.
Well, let me just go back in and look at that, because I want to... We can do it for Mix Minus if you like it.
Yes.
That's all you said.
But I assume that you would understand that I was...
We can.
I own the Elvis domain, so I could redirect it. And it's like, it's fine. It's something.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. Homework for me.
Oh, yeah, just go to the... and then sign in with the contact at mixminuspodcast.com. Sign in with that email, okay. And then we'll both get a notification when the voicemails come in. I'm not doing the paid one. You get like 10 voicemails a month, so for free. So, which is, seems fine. I don't think we get more than 10. If we did, we could pay them. That doesn't matter.
We haven't yet, but we don't have a celebrity death phone contest anymore.
We we do not have a
contest
now.
I mean, then we would get 10 calls a week from RT Cruiser telling us about like who the 10 people that died that last week. So
one more piece of housekeeping here.
Yes,
we do have a YouTube video channel now. We need to make it past 100 subscribers before we can have a vanity URL. So we can't be...
Yeah, can I just say something about that? Sorry to interrupt you.
Please do.
I want to call out our listeners on this. You very politely asked last week if the listeners would all go and subscribe.
Yes.
We don't ask much from you listeners. We have a lot more listeners than we have subscribers over there on that YouTube channel.
Yes.
A lot more.
Yes.
And, what's up? Just click on the link, go over there, subscribe. You don't ever have to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could see how cute my studio is.
Yeah, you can see Adam's studio in there. And he's like, I don't know. Last time, let's say, I don't know. You saw the last time we have a star field it's back, yeah. on the two shot. There's a star field behind us. And
L cars on the thumbnail. Thumbnail. Yeah,
I did that on the thumbnail here. I actually did a little test this week with some green poster board over my pictures back here. And I can actually make the pictures into little L cars displays back behind me that are chugging along during the show. I didn't do that this week, but I could do that. Still deciding.
There was a lovely, who's that documentarian?
Documentarian?
That you were talking about earlier tonight when I was being crabby?
Documentarian.
The fade-in photos.
Ken Burns, yes.
Ken Burns, yes, yeah. You did that?
Yeah, okay. Did that. Anyway, that's it. That's the last piece of housekeeping. Head over to YouTube. You can't go to youtube.com/mixminus, sadly, because
all the listeners are slackers.
That's not that.
If they,
it's not that, Adam. It's just they haven't had a chance because you can't really find it over there. So it's like, you know what? I'm just gonna link it real quick in the chat room here. Oh my god!
If they had all subscribed last week.
Oh my god! I just closed my browser and lost like every single fucking link I had.
If they had all done it last week, like they were asked, we would have been able to give a lovely link to everyone tonight.
You are.
A vanity URL.
You are just.
I love all of the listeners. I love you all.
You're just cranky tonight. Here's a fun fact. In the thing is putting them all back on for me. So I was able to recover all of my. All of my tabs.
Along with whatever audio was playing in each one of those tabs.
That's what I had queued up. I had a bunch of YouTube things queued up because for things that are on the board. Now I already forgot what I was going to say. I was going to link the YouTube channel to the listeners. That's what I was going to do. To the chat room. Adam, we are in front of the world's most amazing chat room. Tell us who's there this evening.
Gosh, I'm so burpy. We have Kathy Marshall. We have Cyclone. I'm not sure that we have. Oh, yeah, we do have. Kathy Marshall, Joe and Dallas, Ed Gong, Sater. We have Nico, and I believe that's the ones that are actively participating at the moment. So we love the chat room.
You
Cyclone,
know,
did I say Cyclone?
Yeah, Cyclone right there. He's in our executive producer, Cyclone. You know, the thing is I couldn't just directly link our channel because I'm not on that account, and I have everything queued up, so I couldn't re-log in there. But all I did was search for Mix Minus Star Trek, and we were like the first result. So if you go on YouTube and search for Mix Minus Star Trek, you'll find us.
RT Cruiser. T Cruiser is in the chat room as well.
Yes. He says, for fuck's sake. It's for fuck's sake. Will you get on with the damn show?
Oh, is that what that means?
What did you think?
FFS.
What did you think?
I didn't know.
It's like,
I don't know. I don't know what all these LOL,
feeling,
RFOLMAO, RFFS.
Feeling friskies south.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? So, Daniel, I watched a documentary.
You did?
And this is a really quick thing, but I watched a documentary on Netflix.
Yes.
There's a show called, I want to say it's called Broken.
Okay.
On Netflix, and it's a documentary series. And so they talk about different things. I don't even know that they're all things that are broken, air quotes, necessarily, but it's like the underbelly of the cosmetics industry or... You know, whatever. They talk about recycling and all this kind of stuff. And they have a whole episode on vaping. And they're talking about how in the U.S., there's a real problem right now with vaping and this Juul vape thing that all the kids are finding to be really cool.
The J-U-U-L. Juul.
Yeah, whatever. J-U-U-L. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's called Juul. Mm-hmm. And so they were talking about how... You know, this is going to be a gateway thing to, you know, to actual smoking, and that we don't really know yet what the effects of vaping are going to be. And they're hooking these children on nicotine because the Juul vaping thing actually has nicotine in it. And so that was one side of it.
Yes.
Whereas in England, they're actually using the Juul pen to help people stop smoking. So it was like a completely, so like the U.S. is like coming down hard on this company and,
yes,
you know, oh my God, you're, you know, all of our youth are going to become, you know, addicted to nicotine.
Well, somebody
gonna,
please,
you know,
think of the children. How can we tell if they're smoking drugs or smoking nicotine? We can't tell. They're blowing smoke and they could be doing hash.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but England is taking it like a completely different way and they're like totally using it to help smokers.
It's like, okay, yes, nicotine is still a carcinogen. It's still highly addictive, but cigarette smokes, like when you light tobacco and inhale that, has like 100+ different chemicals that are being pulled into your lungs. So if you can eliminate those, then it's still safer than smoking. So it's just like, and then you can maybe work off, you know, some of the other. Nicotine is not the only addictive thing in tobacco. Like there's other substances that are what do you call them? Terpenes or something that are addictive?
I don't know.
I'm not a doctor, Adam.
I don't know, but you are a psychologist or something like that.
I'm not a psychologist. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, which literally qualifies me to take surveys.
To say that you have a degree in psychology? Is that what it is?
If you wanted to set up a good survey to send out to test people, like an unbiased survey, like I learned all the ways to make an unbiased survey and all the ways to like do kind of testing stuff. But yeah, that's all you learn with a bachelor's in psychology. That's all you learn. You just learn how to make tests.
So anyway, the bottom line is, you know, there are two different thought processes on it. You know, in America's defense, a little bit, England has much stricter rules about, like, they're not allowed to advertise, I don't think, at all. So I don't think they have as big of a problem of, like, the wrong people getting these things in their hands.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know what to think about it. I don't do any of that stuff. So like, I don't really have, I never was a smoker. So I don't really have any reason to go out and get a vape pen or whatever, but
I only use my vape pen for pot. So.
Yeah. I mean, because there was that whole popcorn lung thing for a while, right? Isn't that caused by vaping?
That is it was caused by an additive in the vaping gel that some drug dealers had put in there. It was kind of like putting laxative in cocaine, or, you know, in order to cut it so you can sell more of it because you're diluting it. But they were using vitamin E or something to dilute the things. And it turns out that when you heat vitamin E and inhale it or whatever, that, yeah, it destroys your lungs. So it's not something in the regular products that are put out. It's like, mine come from a medical dispensary, so they're, you know, have been tested theoretically. So,
well, I just thought you would find that interesting because you vape.
No, I vape, but I don't vape. Yeah, but I might watch it. What's it called? Broken?
Yeah, I think it's called Broken. You know, before the end of the show, I'll have the actual name, but I believe it's called Broken.
Okay.
And it's interesting though. It's an interesting documentary. There are 4 or 5 episodes at the moment. I found them all interesting. I will say the one on recycling, they recycled something. I kid you not. The episode on recycling was recycled from another documentary that was also on Netflix. I started watching it and I'm like, I've already seen this.
That was like the best insight. It was like, that's like an editor level practical joke there. It's like, hey, how about if I, for this documentary on recycling, I use the footage from another recycling documentary. Get it? Because I'm recycling the recycle. And then somebody was like, yeah, do it.
It literally was.
Maybe if you send in an email or whatever, they'll be like, congratulations, you won the prize, you know, for
it's kind of like at work. We get these weird phishing emails at work, and it's our security team trying to phish us. And if we send it, we have a email address at work, email abuse or whatever and if we forward these on, because that's what we're supposed to do, so security knows if we actually get real ones, they send you like this congratulatory email. Congratulations, you were not tricked or whatever. Bonus or anything, but
it's gotten to the point at our place that they send out so many fake phishing emails that it's just like, I've actually like reported just regular emails that were just badly worded. It was just like, it's like you're just training me basically to call out my coworkers like grammatical mistakes. It's just like, no one's gonna say that. Let's see, I think I lost the piece there. But I lost this other thing here. So tell me what this is. Tell me this apps from spreadsheets.
Yeah. I thought you might find this interesting. Although I know you do. I know that you like to write code, and both of us like to tinker around with stuff, and we're both, you know, developers at a certain level. Although, you know, funnily enough, both of us have now moved on to non-developer roles in our work. But there's a company, and the name of the company it's called Glide App, GLIDE. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they actually have a way that you can take a spreadsheet, a Google spreadsheet, and you can turn that into a mobile app with no development required at all.
Okay.
So you have all of this, you know, data in a spreadsheet. Let's say you have a list of, you know, contacts in your business or something. I don't know. Yes. I have to do further research, okay. But I mean, I literally just saw it at like 1 a.m. while I was laying in bed next to Mark. Mm-hmm. And you take that and you can go in for free. You can tell them, okay, here's the spreadsheet, and they will consume that data. And then you can design an app using that spreadsheet as your database with no coding required at all. So if you just need to throw together a quick mobile app mm-hmm. that allows you to basically read and update data, it just gives you a really quick, nice way of doing
it. So, I mean, it basically does the same thing that Microsoft Power Apps does, right? So
probably, yeah. But I thought it was it's very interesting. Anyway, I'm going to look at it because even things like... if we were doing like a contest or something, and because again, I need to look and see, but if let's say we were doing some kind of contest and we wanted to quickly just throw together some app that all the listeners could pull up on their cell phone or whatever, you can also do it in a browser, but I'm sure it looks better on a mobile phone. It's glideapp.com, I think. Anyway, all you have to do is create a spreadsheet, and then they have like a little WYSIWYG designer where you can actually edit the way it looks and, you know, how the fields and stuff like that. And I don't know about, I need to do further research because I don't know about like if you wanted to put in logic or anything like that, or if it literally is just a way to see and update data. And maybe it is, but I don't know how advanced you can get. But anyway, it just seemed like a really, you know, it seemed like a really cool thing. Like even if I wanted to just have like a Pride 48 app that listed all the shows or something, you know, something simple. You know, you could literally just dump all the show information into a spreadsheet, quickly go in and create a little mobile app and say, here's the Pride 48 app or whatever. You know, it just looked really interesting to me. So I thought I would just tell you about it.
Yeah, there was something. I'm looking for something here. I heard it on a podcast the other day, and I noticed I looked it up, and so I'm using two different browsers. So I'm trying to see which one I did this on. So I'm tap dancing. This is me tap dancing right now. Thank you very much. Let's see. History here. It's some kind of list app. I know it had the word list. Let me just try regular Google.com. Let's see if I type in... list application. Nope. Who was talking about it? I think it was on Daily Tech News show. They were talking about this anyway, but it was the same kind of a thing. I'll see if I can find the link to you there, but just like, I feel like there's a lot of that. Glide app that's the one that Google is working on, right?
Well, it's Google's not working on it. It's a separate company, but they specifically link up with Google Sheets.
Okay.
So it's Google. So you go into Google, you link your Google account, and then you can say, here's my Google sheet that I have set up. And then they even have templates already. Like, I don't know. I really want to look at it because I find, you know, it's fun coding, but sometimes you just want to throw together something really fast and you don't want to spend all the time writing the actual code to build an app. And I just thought it would be a cool little fast way to throw together, you know, even like throwaway apps. If you just wanted an app for one little thing, like you were having an event and you wanted to put like your event schedule or, you know, something like that, you could just throw together a spreadsheet quickly, you know, spend 10 minutes on this site, build an app, give the link. The only thing about this one right now is they're not available in the App Store, so you have to give a link to people.
Wow.
It's a PWA.
Persistent web app or portable web app?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But they're working on having a way for you to put them in the App Store as well.
Cool.
And all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I thought it was really interesting.
No, it sounds like fun. I'll have to take a look at it. But I know it's frustrating me that I can't think of the name of the thing that I had found before. So that's the thing that annoys me. It's like, wait, I know I just found a thing the other day. When you go through your browser history, I don't think you realize how many things you click on in a day until you go through that browser history.
It's a lot.
And you're just like, oh my God, did I click on all of those things? All day? Wow, that's like a lot of, let's see. I want to see. Oh, this is going backwards in time. I'll never find it.
It's okay. You'll think of it after we stop recording.
No, it's driving me nuts. It's driving me nuts now. It's just like, what was the name of that thing? All right. I'm closing this browser. Tab. Not the browser. I'm closing the tab. So
close it.
Now I have to go back over to the Trello. I don't know where we're at. We're over here. It's yours also.
Well, yeah, but I don't even know if we need to talk about this. Okay, so great. But we will. I mean, why not?
Do we have any contact? I don't even think we have any contact tonight.
No, we don't.
It's like we extended that contest for another week.
I know.
So you know you're going to have to decide between Zach and RT Cruiser because those are the only two people that are in it.
So while I'm thinking of that, do you have a pool at your house?
Pool of talent? No, we don't have a pool.
No, you're in Florida. Isn't that kind of a requirement for all homes?
No,
they come with a pool.
Why?
With those. What do you guys call those enclosures in Florida over the pools that are like
screened in sometimes, patios? Or,
sometimes they're glass. Sometimes they're like a screen.
In Florida, they're almost always screen. And it's basically to keep the bugs out and the leaves out.
There's not a special word for it?
I mean, gazebo?
Just a screened-in
patio?
Yeah,
just screened-in patio, basically. Or screen enclosure.
Anyway, so I didn't know if it was like, you know, in Golden Girls when they're like, let's go out to the lanai. I didn't know if there was some like fancy word for it. But anyway, so, you know, I've been talking a lot about landscaping and my failures of finding someone who wants to do the landscaping and the fact that I want a hot tub. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking about it and I thought, you know, self, I don't really love the way hot tubs look. Like the ones that you buy that are like on top of the ground and they're usually made out of some plastic or fiberglass or whatever. And after a while, you know, they can start to get moldy looking and like weird and they look old. And, you know, after years and years and years of use and you have these nasty covers you put on them and all. I mean, they become eyesores after a while, you know, and people are like, oh, my God, I have this hot tub out there. And then I was thinking, you know, and I haven't found anyone to do this landscaping and to do my, you know, my patio and all that. And Tim in Alaska was saying, oh, well, you need to wait until fall or winter and then all the landscapers will not have any work coming in.
Yeah.
And so then they'll want to work with you.
Except for that guy that you already paid the $150 to.
Well, I haven't paid him yet. I'm going to wait and see if he sends us an invoice. Okay. If he doesn't, he's not getting paid. So anyway, so I was thinking, well, I have thought about possibly getting a pool at some point because we have a very large yard. And what I could do instead of, you know, having some stuff done now is wait and do all of this next year, but start getting the design and everything done this fall and winter.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because if we get a pool, we could get an in-ground hot tub alongside that pool, and it would save money to do them all at the same time. But then I was thinking, you know, is that really too much money to spend on something that's probably not going to increase the value of the home? Because I was doing some research, and apparently homes can actually detract from sales when you're in states that don't typically have pools in a neighborhood.
Even so, in neighborhoods, it's like, I would never buy a house with a pool.
Yeah, I mean, because some people, especially like people with kids and stuff like that, but
it's not even that. But, the cost to operate a pool is stupid. And the amount of upkeep and chemicals and things that you have to do to it. And if you don't use chemicals, if you use a salt water system, then there's the whole keeping that all pH balanced and doing all the chemicals. And then, of course, there's the endless fight of cleaning out leaves and scrubbing the pool and whatnot. And honestly, there's the house behind us has a pool. So here in our neighborhood, the person behind me has a pool. We've lived here since November and I sit out on my patio a lot. I sit out on the screen in patio here a lot. So I hear things. It's like, I've only heard people in their pool like one time over the past since November.
Right.
So it's like I find that's kind of the case that my friends that own pools almost never use the pool. It's just like, if you were actually to take the number of days in a year that they use that pool compared to what it costs to operate that pool, they're way better off, you know, joining a swim club or some, you know, spa or some, you know, health club that has a pool for the amount of times that they want to use it. But that being said, Adam, you know, I think you like hot tubs. So it's like, I wouldn't go past just doing the hot tub. Now, you know, you don't have to get an above ground hot tub. You could, from the same people that will make pools, you can just get a built-in hot tub. Like you can just get a hot tub.
I was just like, I do like a pool. I mean, when I go places, I don't really get in the pool because I don't like to have my shirt off in broad daylight in front of a bunch of people that I don't know. Like I'll never use, we're going to have a community pool here in our neighborhood, in our HOA, our not HOA, but in, we're going to have a, they're building a pool. Yes.
Your subdivision.
But I'm never going to use that because I'm not going to go like with all my neighbors and their kids and have my shirt off. But I grew up, we had a pool when I was growing up and I was in it every day and I used to, and I love skinny dipping, which is something that you can do when you have your own pool. And I was thinking that I could get a really modern, not a huge pool, like a smaller pool, but a rectangular one that had a sloped entry into it made out of gunite, which is the fancy. So like you just walk down into the pool. You don't even have like a ladder or steps. You just, it's just an incline that goes down into the pool. And it could be a small one, even like, you know, 10 feet by 5 feet or something, you know, like a really small, like lap pool sort of thing.
A plunge pool, as it were.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably shouldn't. But I mean, I feel like that could look really cool with like some nice landscaping around it and the little cement blocks with grass in between them. You know what I'm talking about?
You're going to make yourself a cement pond.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's really cool. And then, you know, have a nice patio with a grill and then never use any of it. Mm-hmm. But go out there and be like, look how nice it looks out there.
So, you know, yeah, I mean,
get a pool boy.
Yeah, we can go skate. Like here in Florida, we're blessed with tons of lakes and the ocean, all of which you can go skinny dipping in. So
we have lakes, but I mean, I'm not going to skinny dip in a lake. I don't want some lake eel to bite off my...
Lake eel?
I don't know. Whatever. A catfish.
Catfish are on the bottom of the lake. What are you doing with your penis pushed into the bottom of the lake? That's really what you should be asking yourself there. Is it seems like you have a much larger problem. Anyway.
I cannot swim in things that I can't see to the bottom of. Like a pond. People used to go swimming in ponds back where I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And in the river. Ugh. And then come to find out this river had sinkholes in it.
Old
Do you know what a sinkhole is?
River is old
This river,
man river
had sinkholes and somebody died because they got sucked into the sinkhole and it killed them.
That's
in this river. I don't even like to, I mean, there are sharks in the ocean.
Don't go there. No, wherever that is, don't go there. Don't go to the sinkhole river. That's like, that is, you're not going to have a good time if you go to the sinkhole river.
So what's your verdict? Should I get one or not? I mean, you tell me what to do.
I think I kind of, you know, tip my hand there a little bit. It's like, they are expensive. Even small ones are expensive to maintain. So it's not a matter of them being super expensive to build. Because really, when you think about it, it's, you know, it's a hole in your yard that you're putting water in. But
they're not cheap. I mean, I will say that.
But they, but I mean, it's beyond that first cost of it. They are very,
right.
And it's one of those things that like, if you like pools, you're much better off shopping for a house that already has a pool because they do not add to the value of the house, you know, to the appraised of the house. And so, you know, you can buy a house that has a pool for the same price that you could buy a house without a pool. So if you like pools, then, you know, that's the way to go. But, I mean, you know, you live in Arkansas.
I do.
I don't know what electricity runs in Arkansas. I don't know what
there's a pool like three doors down from us.
Yeah.
So at least I know we wouldn't, if we did it, we wouldn't be the only pool in the neighborhood.
Right.
So like this article I read said, if you have a neighborhood that already has pools and there may be an expectation of people who might be buying your home that you would also have a pool because they're shopping in a neighborhood that has pools.
Right.
So they said that's another, you know.
All I'm trying to say is, all right, if I bought this house, which we did, if I were to spend $10,000 on upgrades to the master bath and the kitchen and, you know, right. like putting in a patio outside, you know, like a larger patio outside and something like that, I would absolutely expect to get all of my money back out of that when I sold the house. If I were to spend $10,000 putting in a pool, I don't think that I would expect to get $10,000 more off of the...
You would not spend... You would not get a pool for $10,000. And in-the-ground hot tub is between $15,000 and $25,000, okay. just for the hot tub.
I'm just saying, you would not expect to get $15,000 to $25,000 more on the price of the house for that. So,
but am I doing it for resale value or just to enjoy my
own?
You
were the one that brought it up. You know, it's like,
I know.
Adam, I believe if you want a pool and it's something that you're going to use and you want, then yeah, do it. But you were the one that brought up the concerns about the resale value of the house. So here's what I'm saying. This is what I'm going to say. If you had a $300,000 house and you put a pool in and you had a $300,000 house and you didn't put a pool in, when you go to sell that house at whatever time that may be, there's not going to be a huge price difference between those two houses.
That's true.
But if you got your use out of that pool, if you feel that, you know, I paid $40,000 for a pool and I feel that over, you know, a 10-year period of living here that I got $40,000 worth of use out of it, then, you know, you're fine, right? You're still better off than renting an apartment. So it's like...
So not to belabor this or make this even longer topic, but
too late.
It's between that. Okay, so there's another home improvement that I kind of want to do.
Yes.
And
why are you being cagey about it? What do you want to do?
You've seen the porn shower, right? Yes.
I mean, I've seen pictures of the porn shower. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen pictures. Yes. So it's like 15 feet by 10 feet. It's like really like a, it's a room and then there's a glass door in the front and it's, the bathtub is inside that area and it's all tiled. What I think I want to do is I really like steam rooms and stuff like that at hotels. So I think what I want to do is I want to finish enclosing it. So the glass doors only, they stop about 3 feet from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. So I think what I want to do is pay someone to fully enclose that. So add more glass or a wall, whatever. I mean, add more glass there to fully enclose it. Tile the ceiling.
Yes.
Because I feel like you have to do that if you want to do what I'm about to say.
Well, I don't know what you're about to say. So,
okay. I'm going to say it right now.
Oh, well, now I'm waiting.
You can buy these things called steam showers.
Yes.
And Cyclone said it. And you can have them put in. My shower already is basically a steam shower. It's just I need to finish enclosing it and add the tiles to the ceiling.
Yeah, and you can put in that shower jacuzzi thing.
And then you can buy a kit that heats the water and produces the steam. And there you go. And they say all you need is an enclosed shower. That's all you need.
Well, there you go.
And water.
Well, that sounds a lot cheaper.
And then
than
I can have my own steam room.
Will you have people over?
I don't know how much. No, just me.
Invite the high school football team over for the steam.
Oh, right. Yeah. No.
Wow.
Probably not.
Okay, great. You know, Adam, we don't have any contact. And I don't know what you're going to do about this contest. I have no idea.
What were my, it was Zach and RT Cruiser.
Here's the thing. I'm going to say this. Look, it can't be Zach because he's, you know, my partner. So basically you'd be sending food to me.
Right.
It can't really be RT Cruiser because he lives in Australia and that's going to cost you just a shit ton of money to send him some cookies. Right. And then you've got
customs
involved.
All right, here's what
I'm
doing.
No, wait. Okay. Here's what I'm saying. We're going to be posting a new Star Trek Lower Decks video this coming week, probably Tuesday, on our YouTube channel. If you would like Adam to send you some, if you want to be entered into the contest for Adam to send you something, just leave a comment on that YouTube video. Just leave a comment on that YouTube video, and then we will use that as our pool to draw from because we don't have our voicemail stuff set up now, and I know it's complicated, and it seemed like a really... intricate kind of a contest thing there with leaving recipes or types of food and whatever. Just
so what you're saying is RT was disqualified.
No, well,
we're changing the rules.
I think RT would like when RT won the trivia contest or the trivia game during the Pride 48 weekend, it was super easy for me to give him an Amazon gift card, right? It was just an email, like it didn't cost, I didn't have to go through customs, I didn't have to bundle something up or whatever. But in your case, you were actually going to send out food, which isn't just expensive. it's also there's some extra hoops you're going to have to jump through for customs to send food outside of the country. There's just some kinds of, you know, some certain foods are not. Ladies and gentlemen, what Adam was talking about on the Geeky Gay on Friday is happening right now. There are gnats on his microphone.
It's brown. It's this little brown, and it was crawling on the microphone.
Swooping away. He was just swooping it away.
I bought a thing.
I don't see the new thing in the studio. Where's the bug zapper?
No, it hasn't come in yet.
Oh, it hasn't come in. Oh, okay.
I just bought it like yesterday.
Did you put out a Saturday Geeky Gay show?
No.
Because as I was mowing the yard today and listening to the Friday's Geeky Gay show, I was you was like, oh, I'm going to put out a Saturday. And then I sent you a voicemail for that show. I was trying to help.
I'll put out one tomorrow. Sunday show.
I was trying to help. Now I don't even remember what I was going to say. Oh, so, we have an executive producer on this show. His name is Cyclone. But did I finish the contest thing? So if you would like to win some food that Adam is going to send you, leave a comment on our YouTube video. You don't have to watch the video, whatever. Just go leave a comment on the YouTube video, and we will put you into the drawing to win something that Adam is going to mail you. That's how easy it is. And if you can't leave us a YouTube comment, if you're just, then just send us an email, contact@mixminuspodcast.com, saying, I would like to enter the contest, call us. Maybe by then, voicemail.mixminuspodcast.com will be up and running.
Maybe.
I got it up and running for the other show in like 5 seconds.
What I will do for RT Cruiser is the next in-person event that we have for Pride 48, I will bring a baked good and give to him.
Okay.
Because I know he'll be there. Whatever that next one is, I'm pretty sure he'll be there.
In that case, he's paying the shipping and everything because he's shipping himself over here.
Right. He's shipping himself over here. I will bring the food.
Just to get that. So Cyclone, our executive producer, sends us out a very detailed dossier every week for us to go through that just has different kind of ideas for show topics and news stories and everything. One thing that caught my eye on this last one here is this shootings at Ruby Ridge. So during this week in history, back in 1992, it was the second day of a standoff by Randy Weaver's remote Northern Idaho cabin atop Ruby Ridge. Now, do you know anything about Ruby Ridge?
I don't.
I don't either. And it's like one of those things that I've heard mentioned time and time again. It's like, oh yeah, the Ruby Ridge. And I don't think I've ever known what it was.
Apparently it was a shooting.
Yeah, well, I think it was very similar to Waco and the fact that it was like ATF had them cornered, but it was like some big compound or something. But I don't think he set the place on fire, the Waco one. Or whatever, but it was just, anyway.
That was David Koresh or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Waco one. I don't know a lot about Ruby Ridge. I'll have to dig into to find, I mean, it's like, this isn't a learning podcast. We're not going to learn about Ruby Ridge. Not going to learn about it tonight. But the other thing that is included new this week, we have some stories from the Weekly World News. And so 25 years ago, DNA scientists to dig up Elvis. So DNA scientists were going to dig up Elvis 25 years ago.
Isn't the Weekly World News, though, like, isn't that like fake? Isn't that like The Onion or something like that?
No, it's not The Onion. It's like it's just as fake as The Onion, but they like to believe that they're true. So tissue samples will settle the mystery of the century. Is it really Presley's corpse in the coffin? Now, do you know what this is from, Adam? Do you know why?
Well, some people think that Elvis didn't really die.
Right. But do you know why they think he didn't die? Why they don't believe that Elvis's corpse, which was on display at his funeral, why they don't believe that it was, Elvis?
No.
All right. So
I don't know that.
There's this crazy lady. Her name is Teresa. No, her name is Jean Brewer. And I was horrified that I might be related to her, but I'm not.
Is she related to you?
No, she wrote a book called Is Elvis Alive back in 1977. And she's like the main Elvis conspiracy lady that they have on all the shows and everything. But this is why they believe that Elvis, this is, she has a much larger argument, but I've distilled down this part from this one YouTube clip. Here's why she believes that Elvis wasn't at his own funeral, why it wasn't his body.
Presley at all.
It's people that went by the body in the coffin were heard to say that does not look like Elvis Presley. They were saying the nose is pugged. Elvis had a very classical nose.
So they're basically saying like, oh, it doesn't look like Elvis. his nose is, you know, too fat to be Elvis. You know, completely.
Well, wasn't he fat when he died?
I mean, wasn't that? But one of the ways that they like prepared the body for embalming and stuff involves like putting tubes through the nose, and it's just like, okay, yeah, so, you know, he's dead, and depending on how he died, he might have, you know, fallen on his face and his nose might have gotten bent wrong or something like that. His rigor mortis set in. So it's like there's just all kinds of reasons why, you know, Elvis doesn't look picture postcard perfect laying in the coffin at his own funeral. But wait, there's
maybe
more. There's more happening.
So but I have my YouTuber of the month is this Roomy official guy.
Yeah.
And he calls cocaine sniffy dust, which I find sniffy really dust, cute. Yeah. So maybe Elvis was just doing some sniffy dust when he died, yeah. and it, you know, messed up his nose.
But here's her other reasoning behind it.
They noticed beads of sweat on the body in the coffin, and, you know, dead bodies don't sweat.
So
wait. Uh-huh. So first she's saying the body wasn't Elvis at all.
Nope,
now she's saying it was a living body.
Yeah, it was some living person that looked a lot like Elvis was there in the coffin.
They hired an Elvis impersonator.
Right. He sweat.
Who had a pug nose.
Sweating.
To lay in the casket. Mm-hmm.
And not
it was hot, so he was sweating.
He's breathing. It has, you know, again, it's like, yeah, you're right. Dead bodies don't sweat, but condensation still happens. And most of those bodies, in order to keep from smelling horribly, are stored in coolers. It's just like, so when you take something out of the cooler and put it into the warm, humid air, then
are you saying it's condensation?
It is. It's condensation. These are normal things on death. We should get, if only we had a listener that was an expert in dead bodies. That could call us and let us know whether.
I don't know, but Kathy Bacon put a picture of the most horrid looking wound on Twitter that I think I've ever seen in my life and goes and says something like, does this look all right to everyone? And I'm like, no,
now,
that does not look
right. Did you not hear the horrible Kathy Bacon murder story that was she told on Archer Radio?
No, I have not heard
see?
That.
Called out here. You didn't listen to the Archer Radio. Let me tell you, Adam, are you just behind on it? Because when you finally get caught up, you'll hear about Kathy Bacon's horrible murder story. And you'll learn about Archer and his husband are going to talk about Depend.
Oh, the wine tour.
No, the adult diaper Depend. So they are
okay.
Big into that.
Well, yeah, but anyway, Digger, as we lovingly refer to, as Scott lovingly refers to him, mm-hmm. responded and said, oh, no, it looks great. And I was like, I don't know what wound you're looking at. But you're used to looking at dead bodies, okay? This is on a living person.
So also 25 years ago, actually, I don't know if it was 25 years ago or not. There was a, so TV Guide has some of their covers from the previous years here. I don't know if you've looked through them or not, but the 1970 August 22nd to the 28th TV Guide has the headline of How the President is Using Television to Go to the People.
Now it would be How the President is Using Facebook to Lie to the People.
Right. It's just like whatever the media of the day, right? It's just like probably back during Lincoln's time, they were just like, How the President is Going to the Newspaper to All the People.
So do you know, a podcast I was listening to today while I was mowing
yes.
earlier, mm-hmm. it's an NPR podcast. I can't think of the name of it. It doesn't matter.
I've not, is that come but, on? Wait, so crap, I can't think of the name. Does that come on after? Wait, don't tell me.
Let me, you know what? I'm just going to pull up my podcast app
tonight
here.
On NPR, A Prairie Home Companion at 7. Crap, I can't think of it at 8.
So I believe it was on a podcast called The Indicator.
Indicator.
And it's a so Planet Money is their big economics podcast. I listen to that. And then they have a spinoff from that that's shorter episodes 5 days a week called The Indicator that covers economic topics. I find economics to be interesting. So anyway, yes. They were talking about the fact that Facebook apparently mm-hmm. is already planning for how they're going to handle all of the false stuff that Donald Trump tweets when he puts on Facebook when he loses the election. and that he claims that it was all rigged, and how, what they're going to do, what their strategy is going to be.
There is no strategy, because it's not just going to be Trump doing it. It's going to be every one of Trump's supporters doing it, because he's already priming them for him, right? He's already going out into public and saying, like, well, the only way that I could possibly lose is if it was all rigged. It's just like, so yeah, he's already priming people to go up. By the way, the chat room is asking, who did Kathy Bacon murder? It's a really riveting story. She tells it in four parts, but you should listen to it on Archer Radio. It's a four-part story that she told about the, it was called The Great South Dakota Murders. Yes, I see. There's a bug on your hand, Adam. Adam is holding his hand with a killed bug up to the camera for me so that I can verify that. Yeah. So, yeah. No, absolutely. The Kathy Bacon murders. We got to come up with a better name for that.
That, you know, that serial killer was just convicted and sentenced this last week.
Which one?
Or sentenced this last week.
Which one?
The one, the old man who was a serial killer from like way back in the 80s, and they found him using DNA recently. I don't remember the name, but anyway. Huh. I don't know if Kathy Bacon has any relation to that, but
maybe she can call us in four parts and let us know. Anyway, we don't have any contact. I've already said that. And
we have a quiz.
We do have a quiz. I was just finishing up with the stuff that Cyclone sent us here. So that was the 1970 TV guide. In 1975, it has the cast of ER on it. Did you ever watch the show ER? No, I'm sorry. The cast of the show Emergency! Did you ever watch Emergency!
No. I did watch ER. I was going to say, I did not watch Emergency.
Yeah. Emergency, you would like it. It was a procedural. It was a hospital procedural. So you had the paramedics.
I love a procedural.
You had paramedics from Squad 51, and then you had the doctors over at Rampart Hospital that would, you'd get the footage out in the field of the paramedics, bringing the people into the hospital, and then the doctors, trying to get the hospital. And then it always ended up with like there was some clue at the scene that will help the doctors cure the person. And it's like when the paramedics run back out to the scene, oh yes, it was penicillin, or I have no idea. I would be a horrible television writer, because
I would be a great one, because I can always predict what they're gonna do next. Mm-hmm. Like always. Like I was watching this Goliath show earlier today, and I was like, I bet they're gonna bring a body. He's opening a box, and I'm like, I bet there's a body part in it. You know what? There was a body part in it. I was completely right. Anyway, or at least predictable writers. I'm very good at predictable writing. I know. But, I watch quite a few medical procedurals, but as I get older and more hypochondriatic, I just made up that word, hypochondriatical, I enjoy them less and less, because they're like, oh, you have this thing and it's cancer. And then I'm like, oh my God, I had that pain yesterday. Maybe I have cancer, And so every time I'm watching these medical things, I think I have the thing that the people have.
Really?
Grey's Anatomy, it's no problem, because it's more about them like making out in closets.
So you don't. That's why you prefer the legal ones, because just like you're pretty sure you're not being audited by the IRS.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Until they hear this podcast, I want to know where the hell you got the money for the pool. We're gonna be
exactly. Just gonna be some audit. I am always on a hunt for a new legal type show to watch, mm-hmm.
You should do a podcast about that. On the hunt.
With
Adam.
Yeah, I need another podcast.
The hunt with Adam.
I've been thinking, maybe I should go back and watch L.A. Law. But Daniel, did you know not every season of L.A. Law is actually available to stream?
Oh.
Or buy?
No, I didn't know that.
So there are like 20 seasons of L.A. Law, and I looked all over the place, all over God's green earth. You can't buy. You can get season 1 and 2. And then, like, you have to buy those on Amazon Prime. And then, like, it skips to, like, season 8 or 9 that you can stream. And so I'm like, well, I don't want to just... I need something I can watch all the seasons. Yeah. I don't want to... What if there's a cliffhanger in season 2?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's been a lot of shows that are like that. It's like news radio. You can't actually buy anywhere. It's just like, there's a lot of weird things, weird rights holding things. Like I think it's like Modern Family, that you can't watch old episodes of Modern Family because they don't exist anywhere. Like you can't like just buy them. And
is that fire that happened in those, remember that Hollywood fire that happened and a bunch of like tapes got destroyed or something for old movies and stuff.
To me, it's just like, okay, well, there's been shows that I just will not get into because I can't watch the old episodes. I can't like get caught up to see what it's like to see where they were at. So anyway, that's not important, Adam. What is important is the number one movie of 1970 is no longer... been dethroned. Chisholm no longer the top movie. Who?
It was such a good run.
I know. They had a very good run. Oh, I'm going backwards here. Let's see. So you know how this works, Adam. There are the top movies listed for numerous different years. For this week, for numerous different years. The new ones this week are in a different color so that you can see them. So your choices this week are in blue there. I'm going to play you a theme song from one of those movies. You're going to tell me which movie it is. Are you ready, Adam?
In blue where?
On the grid. Are you ready, Adam? Tell me, what movie is this a theme song to? I will tell you this.
I like the music.
Okay, but it is a Danny Elfman song.
Danny Elfman. It is... Why? I don't know, but I'm going to guess Darkman.
It is, Adam. It is Darkman from 1990. The box office.
I don't
office
think I've seen that.
I don't think I've seen it either. But I think it was a really big budget film that you know, didn't do very well. It's at the box office.
I like the music, though. A lot of brass in there.
It's Danny Elfman, right?
It's very, yeah.
So. It's like who?
What else did he do? I know the name, but I can't think of what else he's done.
Nightmare Before Christmas. Pretty much any Tim Burton film ever made. He's a very well paid composer. He's up there with what's his name? Star Wars guy. Edward Scissors. Yeah, well that falls under the
John Williams.
Yeah,
that's what you're talking about.
That's who I was talking about. I see.
Is it Jerry Goldman that does all the, or Goldsmith or something that does all the Star Trek ones? Or used to? He may be dead now, but
I don't know.
There's one particular composer who did a lot of the Star Trek.
Oh, look, Nico has posted
stuff.
A picture of the two paramedics from Emergency! Point. So you can watch Emergency.
Did you know that the guy, unrelated, but it reminds me of this. You know Starsky and Hutch?
I don't know them personally, but I did watch their TV show. Yes.
One of the guys on there is now like, he's not an actor anymore. He's now like a real police officer. No, like a real police officer or something. Like, I think, I want to say it's Eric
Estrada.
Gary Coleman
was a building manager. But here's the thing, Adam. Have you seen Simon and Simon?
Yeah, I used to love that.
I
watched that all the time.
You like procedurals, and there were two hot guys in their underwear in the opening scenes or whatever. So, yeah, you should watch
that's
Simon
true.
And Simon.
I could go back and watch that. I have seen a lot of them, but it's been a very long time ago. So
yeah, and with your memory, it'll be like watching them first time.
Was that legal, or I mean, was that like law, like attorney?
No, they
or
were
was
private.
It more like
they were,
cop.
Yeah,
they were private
they were
detectives,
private
right?
Detectives, yeah.
So. Yeah, kind of like Magnum PI.
Isn't that Magnum PI?
I think so.
Yeah, sure.
And there was a helicopter scene.
Yeah. Because his buddy,
and he was driving
his
like
buddy
a sports
had
car.
Yeah, he drove a Ferrari, and his buddy. Well, it wasn't his Ferrari. It was Robin Masters. There's a reboot of it that I've never watched, so I can't speak to any of that. But you know what, Adam? Let's move along here and keep the show going. Oh shit! One moment, please. I never connected to Bluetooth. Okay, let's do this. News game. It's a news game. It's a news game. What questions will he ask? It is the news game. It's the segment of the show where Adam Burns will read me several selected questions from the New York Times news quiz, and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, will attempt to answer them. These are multiple choice answers that I can choose from, but I will try to answer it without taking the multiple choices. But if I get stuck, I will ask for what the choices are. If you'd like to play along, you can head over to nytimes.com, search for news quiz, and just wait and see which questions Adam has chosen this week. Adam, what is the first question this evening?
All right, Daniel. The first question this evening is going to be this one. Which brand became the first U.S. company to reach a $2 trillion valuation?
It was Apple, Adam, and I heard people talking about this on every tech show this week. It's just like Apple is the first company to make a $2 trillion valuation.
It is, Daniel, it is. Apple reached $2 trillion in value on Wednesday of this week, cementing its title as the world's most valuable public company. The milestone occurred just two years.
Where's my ding? Yay!
Well, you're going to edit in the theme song, but where was my theme song, Daniel? That's what I want to know.
What are you talking about? It was there. Everyone just heard the theme song. See, now you're trying to make it seem like I'm doing shady stuff or whatever. It's like, that is the theme song.
Moving on. A report released by the Senate Intelligence Committee detailed a connection between a Russian agent and which associate of President Trump?
That would be the ostrich skin jacket wearing douchebag Paul Manafort. Is it Paul Manafort?
It is, Daniel.
You know, it was an
Paul
easy
Manafort.
One to pick because he's the only Trump associate not currently in jail. So it's just...
The relationship between Konstantin V. Kilimnik, mm-hmm. a Russian intelligence officer, and Mr. Manafort, the Trump campaign chairman, offered, quote, the single most direct tie between senior Trump campaign officials and the Russian intelligence services, the bipartisan report stated.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Number three, which city, once an epicenter of the pandemic, hosted a pool party rave with hundreds of people?
So this was actually done in a water park, and the reason I stumbled across this story was because I've been searching in the news to see when they're going to reopen Typhoon Lagoon here at Disney, because, you know, we have passes to go to the water park.
Because you don't have a pool in your backyard,
that's right.
Daniel.
That's why. A water park is way better than a pool. So it's like, I don't know if you, did you ever watch the show called The Righteous Gemstones on HBO?
No.
It's very funny. It's only been on for one season. But one of the things they were doing is they were having a mass baptism in this big water park in China. And it's like, I guess they're a way bigger thing in China than they are here in the U.S. But I'm going to say, because it says once epicenter, we're talking about Wuhan, China. Is it China, Adam? Hooray.
Well, it was which city, but you said Wuhan.
Yeah. I saw the picture. It was like thousands. It was like, I've never seen a water park that crowded. It was just like crazy crowded. It was just like everyone in that water park has like two meters of water. It's just like,
yeah, it looks like the picture in the quiz looks like they're all in the largest wave pool I've ever seen in my life.
And they're standing just like right on top of each other. So like if one of them pees, they're all just like bounce around there really fast.
Yeah.
But doesn't that kind of annoy you that, you know, they've gotten their shit together and now they can actually go and have mass gatherings without like people worrying about getting sick and whatnot? It's just like, you think about like what situation we're in right now because of our fucked up federal leadership.
Yeah, or his followers, or both. Which historical figure was pardoned by President Trump on Tuesday?
Paul Manafort. No, which?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to choose in my own brain the one that seems the most racist.
I have no idea, so tell me the choices.
Your choices are Susan B. Anthony, John Brown, Frederick Douglass, and Robert E. Lee.
And what was the...
Which historical figure was pardoned by President Trump on Tuesday? I wasn't aware that Susan B. Anthony was ever imprisoned for anything.
Oh, she violated the she was arrested for like protesting the women's right to vote and things like that. I mean, she was
maybe I'm thinking of the one who did.
You don't have to go to prison to be pardoned. I mean, just it pardons you of whatever crime you were charged with, so it's no longer on your record. Anyway, I'm gonna go with Robert E. Lee because it sounds like something that he would do.
The correct answer is Susan B. Anthony.
That's what
on
I
the
said. Isn't that what I said?
You said Robert E. Lee.
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure if I after I edit this, I had said Susan right, B. Anthony.
On the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, Mr. Trump announced the pardon of Susan B. Anthony, the women suffragist who, weren't they once called a suffragette, who was arrested after voting illegally in 1872 and fined $100.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that her her children's children's children deeply appreciate them getting their, I don't even think they get their $100 back. I don't know what it gives them.
All right, Daniel, this is the last question for tonight.
The last question.
If verified by climate scientists, the hottest temperature on Earth was recorded on Sunday. Where?
I want to point out that it would be Sunday, August 18th or something. Not because this show is going to basically
it was the
16th
birthday was on right, Monday, yeah, which so was August the 17th.
I believe it was Death Valley. Was it Death Valley?
I don't know, but let me tell you.
Hooray.
Yes, Daniel, that is correct. The temperature at Death Valley's Furnace Creek in Southern California, oh my God, reached 130 degrees Fahrenheit last Sunday afternoon, according to the NOAA Weather Prediction Center. While higher temperatures have been reported, many climate scientists have questioned the reliability of those readings. If the Death Valley temperature is validated by climate scientists,
yes, by climate scientists,
it would be the hottest reliably measured temperature on Earth in recorded history.
Wow! When I saw that, it was after I had made fun of Scott on That Darn Elvis about the heat advisory that they had been under in California. Because he was trying to prove to me that he was under a heat advisory, and he asked his Alexa on the show, and the audio from it was just completely unusable because his Alexa is way across the room, and so I replaced it with my own Alexa being sassy. But it was like his Alexa said it was 93 degrees, which is why I was making fun of it.
He says that's hot, but it regularly gets above 93 in Arkansas.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying.
When I moved to Dallas, which is not Arkansas, I understand that. But the day that I moved to Dallas years and years ago, it was 114 degrees.
It's crazy.
So
but it was a dry
it
heat.
Does. Well, no, I mean, Dallas is humid. But anyway, it's just, yeah. But 130, I would feel like you would die if you stepped out in that.
That would be Death Valley.
I feel like that would just cook your skin.
You know what? It's like, that's probably why it's called Death Valley, Adam.
Maybe.
Because people die.
All right, Daniel, there is the news game, and you got, let me just give you the count.
Yeah.
Of how many you got.
Yeah.
I have to count these up.
Okay.
I'm looking right now.
Doing your ciphering now. I can tell you're ciphering really hard there.
You got 4 out of 5 questions correct.
5
Daniel.
Out of 5. That is amazing.
4 out of 5 correct.
You're still trying to pin me on that when I said, clearly said Susan B. Anthony.
You said Robert E. Lee.
Anyone that listens to the recording can tell that I said Susan B. Anthony.
Robert
no
E. Lee.
That. All right. Thank you very much, Adam, for administering the quiz.
Anytime. Anytime.
All right.
In fact, you can call me any night of the week and be like, Adam, give me a news quiz.
Really?
I'll do it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to start calling you.
Okay.
Just randomly in the middle of the week. Now, Adam, I know that one of the things, I won't call you on Monday nights because I know on Monday nights you record that that other little podcast that you like to do.
But first.
I don't know why you guys do that. Because she doesn't say
you don't know
that.
Why we do the podcast.
No, I mean, I don't know why
does.
You guys say it like
she
that.
Always
she
says
doesn't.
That. No, no,
I know she says it, but she doesn't say it like that.
She says it like that, and they even have a hashtag that comes up on the screen. But first, we're going to go over, I mean, in her own, you know, Julie Chen way, she says it. But anyway, go on with your point.
So at the end of the show.
That I haven't watched yet.
No, but, the one you did watch last week at the end of the show. And she was just like, remember the goal. I'm, you know, from the outside of the Big Brother house, remember the golden rule. I'm Julie
yes.
Chen Moonves. Remember the golden rule, blah, 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 blah.
Be nice to each other. Bye-bye.
And it was like one of those things. And then she said later in an interview that it had to do with Black Lives Matter. And it was really kind of weird and, you know, whatever. But this last time she also signed off in a really weird way. I'm trying to pull it up here. I literally had this up on the screen earlier. But this week she said something else. It's like she said,
did she say, while not wearing a mask, but I require the house guests to wear a mask?
Okay, well, I feel like the reason that they're requiring them to wear a mask is because they're going to have that stupid battle back competition, so they need to keep them, you know. It's like if Julie Chen gets sick, there's no problem.
The mask is not to protect you. The mask is to protect others. Both.
It actually, there's studies that show that it does even flimsy masks protect you, whatnot. But anyway, at the end of the show, she's like, in this time when you can choose between being nice and being right, always choose right. Always choose nice or something like that. And it's like, what is she trying to do with this sign off? It's so weird. I half expect her next week to go like, from outside of the Big Brother house, I'm Julie Chen Moonves. Julie Chu's? That's hard to say. I'm Julie Chen Moonves. Remember, there once was a scorpion that needed to cross the stream, and a frog came up and offered to take him across. And it's like, she's just going to get into like Aesop's fables or something. She's like just making it longer and more convoluted each week.
Maybe, but I mean, at least she's trying to say nice things. I mean, give her a break. She's just trying to put some nicety into the end of the show, you know?
You have no idea how much I hate that show. That show I do know. Is a fucking train wreck. That announcer has got the single most annoying voice in the history. I have to like fast forward through the
previously on Big Brother.
Oh, that's not even as annoying as him. He's just like, you need to like gargle with acid or something before you say that. And it's just like, and then scream. It's just like, oh, it's so.
That is the horrible. Same announcer, right?
But it's just like, it's so annoying and he's so stupid and it's so over the top. And it's
but
like,
tell us how you really
oh
feel.
Oh my God, I hate that show.
But if Jeff Probst took over the hosting from Julie Chen, you would love it.
Actually, I have no problem with Julie Chen hosting. I have a problem with the format and the premise of the show. It's just so hokey and it's so... Because, I mean, the UK version of this show, you hear Big Brother talking to him all the time. It's like, they don't try to hide that from you. Here, they make the contestants read everything and they're just the worst, most annoying people screaming at them. It's like, you're not going to send the meow meow home because I'm going to tell you I'm the meow meow. And it's just like, oh my God, shut the fuck up. Oh, you people are so annoying. Also, Memphis, oh, he's just like, oh, bully man. Like, he is.
But see, they're getting the emotional response from you that they want.
Just such a...
I mean, they're framing him as a villain or as, you know, as an asshole.
Horrible show. Such a stupid, horrible show.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
Well, I'm glad that you enjoy it. I don't. I still watch it because there's nothing else on. And, I like to be annoyed at it. I mean, I have CBS All Access. I could watch those stupid, feeds. I refuse to do that. I'm not going to watch the feeds.
I don't watch the feeds. I don't want to. The feeds are really boring. I really need the packaged shows that have cut down all of the stuff that happens on the feeds and like put them into a
carefully
nice
curated content
package.
Like we have here on Mix Minus, which every single week we spend all this time. Just
curating,
copy, editing it down, chopping it down to just the bare essential entertaining
pieces.
Not just writing it, rewriting it, rehearsing, re-recording, just the amount of things that we go through. All right. If you want
producers.
If you want to win some food, go leave a comment on our YouTube video this coming Tuesday or send us an email, contact@mixminuspodcast. Hopefully later this week we'll have it set up where you can go to voicemail.mixminuspodcast.com and you can leave us a voicemail there. Adam, see you next week.
Yeah, you got 4 out of 5 correct. By the way, just wanted to let you know it was not Susan B. Anthony.
Really? Who was it?
Robert E. Lee.
Okay. Well, that's exactly what I said. So
I don't believe so.
That is absolutely what I said. You know what? This is just going to be a conversation for the ages. Adam, I'll see you next week.
Bye-bye now.
What? This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.